From the heartland of America and the gateway to the West, good morning, good evening, wherever you may be, across the nation, around the world. I'm George Norrie, and welcome to Coast AM. Next hour. Now, if you remember that Indiana Jones scene from the movie where Indy jumped into a pit of snakes, he had an incredible fear of snakes. Well, our guest next hour, Philip Gardner, Ancient Mysteries, some of them include snakes. By the way, I mentioned this as we were going off the air last night. Happy fifth anniversary to Spike Mike, moderator of the Fantastic Forum. Spike has gone through 785 shows. I'm sorry, 1,785 shows. He's only missed a few of them over his five-year span. He's a delightful person and cares a lot about the program. The great red spot that has dominated the planet Jupiter's cloud tops for hundreds of years now has a companion. The gas giant is growing another red spot. Why and how? Scientists do not know. NASA astronomers have nicknamed this Red Junior. Both red spots are actually raging storms in Jupiter's cloud layer, but scientists just don't know yet how they get this characteristic brick color. Red Junior is about half the size of the Great Red Spot and almost exactly the same color, according to NASA. Scientists are plotting out a crash course in learning what happens when a European lunar probe slams into the moon in September. The European Space Agency's Smart One spacecraft, now circling the moon, is headed for a planned early September impact with Earth's celestial neighbor. The ESA probe would plow into the surface, giving it a glancing blow as it speeds in at nearly 5,000 miles an hour. Outfitted with miniaturized instruments, Smart One's goal has been to gauge key chemical elements in the lunar surface, as well as look into the theory that the moon was formed following the violent collision of a smaller planet with Earth a long time ago. Sad story tonight in New York. Dana Reeve, who fought for better treatments and possible cures for paralysis through the Christopher Reeve Foundation, named for her late actor husband, has died. She was 44. She died of lung cancer at the Memorial Sloan Kettering Medical Center. She won worldwide admiration for her support of her husband, the one-time Hollywood Superman turned activist for spinal cord research, after a horse riding accident in 1996. He died in 2004. Dana had served as chairwoman of the Christopher Reeve Foundation and founded the Christopher and Dana Reeve Paralysis Resource Center. Sad story there. Dana Reeve, dead of lung cancer, though she never smoked. Researchers are warning that the next eruption of Vesuvius could be much more deadlier than the Italian authorities are planning for. A U.S.-Italian collaboration says deadly blasts have previously caused devastation, which swept well beyond modern Naples. Italian plans call for the evacuation of 600,000 people from the city, but the researchers say up to 3 million people could be at risk, according to the new assessment. Vesuvius is best known for its eruption in 79 AD, the eruption that buried the Roman town of Pompeii. In Brandon, Florida, a teenager who kept a 29-inch sword displayed on his bedroom wall has died after the weapon fell and slashed his shoulder and neck. A 15-year-old, he was in his bedroom with two younger brothers when a ball that they were bouncing knocked the sword off the wall. He was pronounced dead at a local hospital. Man, I got this email in from Ernest today. He said, George, I've just become aware that the USDA is going to require all horse owners to have their animals microchipped before 2009. This is said to be necessary to track disease. Now, I'm a nurse. What diseases are horses spreading to humans? Is this more Big Brother checking in on this, is it? Well, I did do some checking, and a human can get West Nile virus from a horse or encephalitis. But requiring all horses to get chipped could be just the beginning of Big Brother. A Chicago booking agent and her husband have sued a Catskill resort Tuesday for $20 million, saying that her body and mind were scarred after she suffered some 500 bed bug bites while staying at the hotel last summer. She's 54 years old. She says she and her husband, Stephen Cohen, never felt the bed bugs bite while sleeping at the 700-room hotel in Ellenville, New York. She said she noticed the lesions when she got up after their third night there. $20 million suit. If you go to the coasttocoastam.com website under Hot Story, take a look at the Time Warp family that walks on all fours. This is not a hoax. An extraordinary family who walk on all fours are being hailed as a breakthrough discovery which could shed light at the moment man first stood upright. Scientists believe that the five brothers and sisters found in Turkey could hold unique insights into human evolution. The siblings, aged 18 and 34 and from the rural south of Turkey, bear crawl on their feet and their palms. Study of the five has shown the astonishing behavior is not a hoax and that they are largely unable to walk otherwise. Researchers have found a genetic condition which accounts for this extraordinary movement, and it could provide invaluable information on how humans evolved from a four-legged hominid into a creature walking on 2 feet. There's a picture of the family walking on the bear crawl if you want to go take a look on the coasttocoastam.com website. Late tonight, the House renewed the USA Patriot Act in a cliffhanger vote, extending a centerpiece of the war on terrorism at President Bush's urging after months of political combat over the balance between privacy rights and the pursuit, they say, of potential terrorists. The president, forced by filibuster to accept new curbs on law enforcement investigations, is expected to sign the legislation before 16 provisions of the 2001 law expire on Friday. And another Dubai-based company, this one owned by the Iranian government, has been used by Tehran's defense ministry to procure a key component needed for the production of nuclear weapons, according to Iran Focus. Iran Focus cites sources inside the Iranian government as saying Gulf Resources Development Corporation, it's the Iranian-owned Dubai company, has smuggled sizable quantities of a type of graphite known as ceramic matrix composite from China to India. The development is sure to stoke the already red-hot embers of controversy in Washington over a proposed contract with Dubai Ports World to run port operations in the U.S., a deal that prompted bipartisan criticism of the Bush administration. And that, by the way, is from China to Iran, not India. In a moment, our guest will be Andre Eglishan. We're going to talk with him about the port situation, the U.S. economy. General Motors, for example, announcing today that they're going to do away with pensions for its salaried employees in the future, going to a 401k plan. Just what's happening with outsourcing. We're going to talk about this in a moment on Coast to Coast AM. Andre Eglishan is an alumnus of Florida A&M University in both music and political science. He is a successful entrepreneur and the talk radio host of South Florida Speaks Out and Behind the Headlines on Mystic 1580 AM and live on the Internet at www.wsrf.com. Andre is the author of Thieves in the Temple and the only known African-American to publish a book on the Federal Reserve System. He has published numerous papers on subjects ranging from science to religion and is also becoming a red-hot commodity on the lecture circuit. He was our guest back about a year or so ago on Coast to Coast. Andre, welcome back. How are you?
George, thank you so much for having me. It is an honor and a pleasure to appear with you tonight on Coast to Coast.
So many things have been happening in just the year that you've been away from us, Andre. This port deal, the economy is going, I think, the wrong way. And now today, General Motors announces that it's going to drastically change its pension for its salaried employees. What's happening?
Well, this is what happens when we find ourselves in this nexus between an unbridled free market ideology and national security. When we reach this point wherein we are beginning to question what comes first, I think that we should really reexamine the trajectory that our country is on under this whole free market ideology. And that is the driving force behind this deal to turn over Dubai, to turn over our port operations to Dubai Ports World. It is a relentless drive to liberalize trade. And I sit here with tears almost in my eyes for my country tonight in knowing that we're going to come up on the short end of the stick in this deal, as we have in the last two decades of global free trade. And this is a problem. And I'm glad to see the country finally waking up, and things that you have been telling your audience and things that I've been telling my audience for years now are finally beginning to materialize right before our very eyes. But it's not too late. I mean, this is still a government of, by, and for the people, and the people need information, and that's why I thank you for giving me this opportunity tonight.
Well, you know, I'm afraid, Andre, if we don't keep pounding away on this port story, even though the hearings are going on, that it's going to just die by the wayside, and it's going to get approved, and it's just going to get done. It's going to be a slam dunk. So we continually need to talk about this thing.
You're absolutely correct. You see, it's the big international banking cartels and the multinational corporations that are pushing for this. As I said, you know, the drive to liberalize trade in the world, particularly between countries that have a dubious relationship with the United States in terms of their support for America and its foreign policy endeavors, is, I think, compromising our national security interests in the world. And it's time for us to wake up and to realize what's happening. As a matter of fact, N.M. Rothschild and Son just contracted once again with Jardine Holding Company. They were the old Hong Kong trading company, to begin to broker concerns for the Rothschilds in Asia. They're going to be what J.P. Morgan was in the United States at the turn of the century. They're going to simply broker these deals, which will be about the merger and acquisition of more and more of America's assets. And these assets are going to our corporate benefactors in the Asian countries, in the Middle East, and anywhere else that seeks out our assets. And we're selling off our country piece by piece. Where will this end? My mind right now is on the words of, I believe it was Abraham Lincoln, who warned about things like this when he said that corporations would be enthroned and an era of corruption would follow, and the money powers would play upon the prejudice of the people until the republic is finally destroyed. And we are now seeing that happen right before our very eyes. The tremendous amount of money and fees and royalties that these banks collect on the fees that they charge on transnational mergers and acquisitions is, in my opinion, one of the principal driving forces behind the parceling of America's assets, even to the detriment of our national security.
And what are they doing with all this money, Andre? I mean, how much money do these corporations and these individuals need to make before they say, you know what, I'm happy. I've got a car, maybe two cars. I've got a nice house. I've got a nice family. I'm happy. They're never happy, are they?
They are never happy. They are never satisfied. You know, there has been this long drive, as you talked about at the beginning of the show, towards a new world order, a one world government, and we're seeing that facilitated. When you look at the global fiscal landscape, historically America has been the largest regulatory lump, and the goal is to bring America down to a level of parity with the rest of the countries in the near-developed world and the rest of the industrialized world, to bring about this one-world economic order that we're seeing materialize. I mean, you know, the Rothschilds haven't done business with Jardine in years. I mean, they haven't done any business with them, I think, since around the 1830s. And now they're bringing them on board to broker these deals, these transnational mergers and acquisitions, and the fees that they're collecting are astronomical. And I'm sorry, unfortunately, our president has no other choice, being a politician, but to assuage the agenda of these multinationals who seek to outsource our jobs for the cheapest labor, who seek to outsource the operations of our ports, even if it means compromising our national security. It's like we're living in a surrealistic nightmare. This is not the America that you and I grew up in, and I hope and pray that it won't be the America that our children and our grandchildren will grow up in.
I go back and forth, Andre, between Los Angeles and St. Louis, spending about 70% of my time in L.A., and, you know, I gotta react to the weather in various cities. So I brought with me, I've got a leather jacket, And, you know, I carried it on the plane with me from L.A. to St. Louis, because when I landed in St. Louis, it was about 35 degrees, and I'm glad I brought it. But I had never looked inside the label. It was a very small label tucked underneath the size of the jacket. And there it said, sure enough, made in China. I couldn't believe it. I'm saying to myself, is everything made in China now? What's made in the United States anymore?
Well, you know, if this trend continues, you know, I shudder to think where we're going to be. There are two kinds of growth, and all economists like to see good growth. But there's good growth and there's bad growth. There's a growth that's going to be based upon domestic productivity, the type of America that we inherited from our fathers, the greatest generation that went off and fought the Second World War. And then there's a bad kind of growth, which is the growth that I see this country on right now, and that's a growth that's based on borrowing. We're borrowing about $1.9 billion every single day from the Chinese. Also, even though the Federal Reserve right now is raising interest rates, foreign central banks are pumping a tremendous amount of liquidity into our economy, and it is what is propping up this housing bubble right now. The government-secured enterprises, Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac, are only remain solvent as long as the liquidity pump from these foreign central banks continues to function. When I look at some of the dirty little secrets behind this porch deal between the United Arab Emirates, the Carlyle Group, and the president's family, it scares me. It really, really does. I mean, these plutocrats have no compunction whatsoever about not parceling out more and more of America's economic and political sovereignty. And it's up to the American people to stand up and say, look, this has gone far enough. And I'm glad to see there is a bipartisan consensus now in our Congress. I'm glad to see that there is a bipartisan grassroots consensus all across this country. Begin to stem the tide of our outsourcing of our assets and our jobs to foreign countries. We're pawning this country.
I'm concerned, Andre, if we don't keep the heat on, that they're going to get this thing passed when the time comes. And that's why it's so important for all of us to be able to do what we do here. You know, we were one of the first to break this story several weeks ago about the ports. And I said, folks, within a week, this will be one of the biggest stories in a long time. And sure enough, it finally hit, and the mainstream media finally caught on to it. Do you think any of this can really be stopped? Or are we on a path now of a one-world government, and it's just not going to stop?
Well, this next 45 days or so, this review period, this cooling off period, will tell us a lot. I'm worried that this period will be used not to conduct the kind of security screening that it is designed to allow, but I'm afraid that this period may be used simply to bend a few arms in Congress and to try to further propagandize the American people into accepting the outsourcing of our jobs as something that's good for the nation's security. You know, I can think of many different reasons as to why this is a bad, bad deal for America. I could think of seven major reasons as to why it's a bad deal for America. But I think that ultimately, George, I think that we're caught in the grips of a system that was set in motion about a century ago by the robber barons, which has now turned into a globally maligned, self-cannibalizing system that even the Federal Reserve and many of our institutions themselves can scarcely do anything about. The world has gone global. They took the world global beginning in the 1940s with the establishment of the IMF and the World Bank. Mm-hmm. And I don't think they put the necessary protocols in place to govern a global market whose nation's sovereignty means absolutely nothing anymore but lines on a map. Many of the rules that are in place govern these countries as if they were sovereign, and they are implemented to try to govern a global economy. So we end up trying to go from crisis to crisis with more ad hoc regulatory measures. All the while, many of the geopolitical complexities that are materializing in the world today, with, for example, China is seeking a wider palette of trade relationships in Latin America. Latin America is growing far more anti-American. The United States has given up control of the Panama Canal. China now controls that. When you couple that with the notion that these industrialized countries are all jockeying for position for the dwindling oil reserves on the face of this earth, I see the whole planet as a gigantic powder keg, and it's not going to take very much of a spark to set this thing off if we're not careful.
Andre, stay with us. I'm going to hold you over for a little bit. We'll be right back. I want to talk with you a little bit about housing and the economy. What are people doing with their mortgages? And I understand you've got a conference coming on. So we'll have Andre on for just a little bit longer, and then I'll go to open lines at the latter part of this hour on Coast to Coast AM. So stand by. Andre Aglishan is our guest. Andre, we're going to have to get you back for a full program. This is not going to do you justice tonight, but we will do that. The outsourcing, which continues, of course, but I'm also concerned about the housing bubble, because everybody's talking about now that homes are slowing down, home sales, new home sales are slowing down, mortgage rates are at an all-time high, people are financed to the hilt of 100+%. There's a bubble there that can break and blow up at any time, isn't there?
That is absolutely correct, and I think whether or not that bubble breaks depends upon the willingness of foreign central banks to continue with this prevent defense of a bailout of Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac. I mean, as long as these foreign central banks continue to pump money into the U.S. money supply, into these mortgage entities, Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac, then I think that they will still be able to remain solvent. But the minute they begin to, if for no other reason than diversification, turn to other financial instruments around the world, perhaps maybe the euro or the Japanese yen or maybe some other currency, the minute they begin to divest out of America, and there is a lot of geopolitical chaos out there right now which could precipitate that, we could see the beginning of the bursting of that bubble. It really worries me with equity extractions running at an all-time high right now, credit cards taking the place of a good-paying job, people are using their homes as an ATM machine. It's no way to run an economy, and I think that we're in a very perilous position right now with the housing market. I think it is poised and set for some correction.
Oh, you know, you just said something that is very poignant here. People are using their credit cards almost as a job. That is dangerous, especially with the interest rates that some of these cards are grabbing people for.
You're absolutely correct. I mean, the interest rates will have no choice but to rise as the Federal Reserve's Open Market Committee continues to raise interest rates. Ben Bernanke, our new Fed chair, has already indicated that we can expect another 25 basis point hike. He's a little different than Greenspan in that he's a little bit more transparent. But there's still some ambiguity about the kind of Fed chair that Bernanke is going to be. But you're right, the interest is going to continue to rise. And at some point, you will reach the end of the line with equity extractions from homes and with the usage of credit cards. As a matter of fact, we're already starting to see some regulations tightening up on the use of credit in America today. They have to try to do something to tame inflation. Sooner or later, we're going to have to deal with this liquidity that Alan Greenspan has pumped into our markets, trying to stave off the inevitable. And when that day comes, it's going to be somewhat harsh on the American consumer, on the little guy. There's no question about that.
Andre, my 24-year-old son is marrying his high school sweetheart in April, and he's got a job, doesn't pay him a lot of money, but he's got a job in security business, and she is a stewardess. If we were to throw them in a room with you and have you give them a speech about what they should plan for, what would you tell them, a young couple like that?
That's a very good question. I would tell them to make sure that they live within their means. Get out of debt. If you're in debt, pare down your debts as quickly as possible. make sure that you, your investments, make sure that you try to save something. The unfunded liabilities of our government, particularly Social Security, is probably not going to be around permanently in our society. We've already seen one attempt by this particular administration to privatize it or partially privatize it. It ended up in becoming a dead issue. It was tried in Chile, and it did not work there. So I would tell them to make sure that they put at least 10 to 20% of their savings in gold and silver, either bullion or coin, perhaps maybe some good gold and silver stocks. Gold is we're still in the very early stages of a bull run in the metals. Also, the energy market looks very, very promising, particularly some of the green stocks, some of the alternative energy stocks. Congress has mandated that we begin to increase our ethanol reserves. There are some stocks that deal in ethanol that are very, very attractive, that are doing extremely well. Uranium is another area wherein people may want to park some of their money because of its scarcity and because of China's drive to industrialize itself and their voracious appetite that they're going to have for more and more uranium, and it's in very short supply. As a matter of fact, the average person may not even know that Congress had appropriated some of our tax dollars last year to help China in building its nuclear facilities. We're doing the same thing in India, and these plants are going to need uranium, so it's another good area. I would tell them to simply do all that they can do to make sure that they save and plan for their retirement years. The days are gone when we could depend on corporations to provide a pension for us and when we can depend on Social Security to be there for us. We're on our own, and this is a so byproduct.
True. So true. You're so true about that. Well, Andre, I guess the old Donald Trump saying, too, cash is king. It's always nice to have some of that put away, too, isn't it?
You're absolutely correct. Have some cash put away. Gold and silver coins are very easily convertible into cash, particularly the Vienna Philharmonic, because the brokers don't charge you as much in terms of fees when you get ready to exchange those back into cash. So I would look at those as well. But I do want to make one correction. I'm no longer with WSRF. That station went out of business. I'm now with the Information Radio Network, and people can listen to me every day by logging onto my website at www.talktoandre.com. That's TalkToAndre.com. Talktoandre.com. I'm on every day from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. Eastern.
Okay, we're going on your year-old bio here, so I'm glad you corrected that. Do you have a conference coming up?
Absolutely. The National Black Writers Conference is coming up in Los Angeles. That is going to be held at the LAX Radisson, and it's in Los Angeles, right by the Los Angeles International Airport. We're expecting some 5,000 to 6,000 attendees at this conference. The conference is open to anyone and everyone. We welcome everybody to come on out. I'm giving the keynote luncheon address. It's going to be on national security. I'm going to be talking about the fact that we are now living in a national security state. We created the National Security Act in 1947, and the National Security Council started out as a civilian advisory committee to the presidents. It has now been transformed as a command post for all kinds of black operations, which have been illegally backdoored out of virtually every administration since 1947. The byproduct of America's national security policy has been coup d'etats, election rigging, assassination, drug running, the whole nine yards. And we're going to talk about that at the conference this year. Also, we're going to talk about U.S. presidential policies on strategic petroleum reserves and petroleum dependence in America.
Then when's it going to be?
It's going to be March 11th. That's this Saturday at the LAX Radisson in Los Angeles. And that address is 6225 West Century Boulevard, Los Angeles, at the Radisson Hotel. They're going to be authors, writers, major publishers, literary agents are going to be there. The national press will cover it. And Joe Meyer, my good friend, the arbitrator and mediator, and I will be holding an investment seminar after the luncheon. So it's going to be a cornucopia of information about just the same question that you asked me. What are Americans supposed to do to protect and insulate themselves from this perfect economic storm that's brewing on the horizon?
Andre, thanks so much. Good luck at your conference, and I'll talk to you soon.
Thank you, George. I look forward to appearing with you again sometime very soon.
And I will have open lines for you in a moment. Here are the numbers again. West of the Rockies, 800-618-8255. East of the Rockies, 800-825-5033. First-time caller line is 818-501-4721. And the wild card line, ready to go, 818-501-4109. Okay, with time remaining, let's go to open lines. Let's go to our East of the Rockies line. You're on the air with us on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hi, this is Fritz calling from the home of the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Welcome, Fritz. How you doing?
I'm doing just fine, thank you, sir, and yourself?
Good. Always well. Thank you.
Yes, I'm calling concerning racial profiling. You know, after Pearl Harbor, we made a lot of mistakes concerning Japanese Americans. But it was wartime, and drastic times call for drastic measures. And I just feel that if there are people of Middle Eastern descent or of Middle Eastern origin that are that raise suspicion, and that we're attempting to watch and attempting to track, I'll tell you what. I think political correctness should be put on hold for the time being. As I said, during war, we have to be very, very careful. I say, you know, round them up and put them on a farm in Montana or something.
Well, you can't just do that, Fritz. But I do agree with you in that, you know, if you know, there are people who are of Middle Eastern origin that look suspicious or going through a line, and, you know, you're going to check people. They're more apt to get checked than somebody who isn't. You know, that's natural. I don't see anything wrong with that, as long as our constitutional rights are not being violated.
Well, they were violated in 1941.
Well, you know? I know it, but it doesn't mean it was right.
No, it wasn't right. But at the time, we, you know, like I said, there was a lot of things that had to be put on hold because we had to cover our back. We had to really watch ourselves.
Yeah, but some of it was panic because of all the people that they rounded up during that period. Did they ever really find anybody who was suspect?
I wouldn't know. I was born in 54, so I couldn't say. But right or wrong, sometimes, you know, you just got to do what you got to do.
And I understand, like, I understand that.
It could be a way, I don't know, even if, because there's places in this country where Middle Eastern people own a considerable amount of property, and I've heard this on the news, where they are actually having, like, military drills on this property. We know where this property is. We know where these people are located. We see hundreds of people going in and out of these places on weekends, but we can't get on there because they have armed guards governing their private property. Well, you know, what's up with that?
I mean, well, you know, as I was talking with Douglas Hagman about that just 2 weeks ago, there are some there's camps where that is being done right now. We have a responsibility as a nation to go in there and check that out. Maybe we are. I assume we are. I assume our satellites are checking. I can't believe we're that stupid just to let these things go unnoticed. So one has to believe that they're checking into that. First-time caller line, welcome to the program. You're on the air with us. Hi there.
Hi. This is Sharon from Tennessee.
Hi, Sharon. What's going on there?
Oh, not a lot. first of all, I want to compliment your show. I'm a new listener, and I just love your show.
How'd you find us?
I was up late one night just flipping through the radio stations and something caught my ear.
All right, good.
But about 3 weeks ago, I saw a commercial on television, on, it said, if the Christ were walking among us as a man today, would you recognize him? And then it flashed a picture of Maitreya, and I recognized his picture. So, you know, I've started researching a little bit more into him on the internet and been reading the Share International magazine.
Yes, and that's Benjamin Krebs group. Yeah,
right. And I've all the organizations that endorse him and his followers, none of them disclose any information about what his origins are, how old he is, what his lineage is, and I'm trying to find that out. I mean, because this guy really does fit a lot
of
the criteria.
According to Benjamin Krem, and we've had Benjamin on the program twice before, there are a lot of people, by the way, who think the Maitreya is the Antichrist, Sharon.
Well, he fits a lot of the criteria, and that's what caught my eye. And, you know, I mean, it, especially even the March issue of the magazine, and it, you know, accessible on the internet is...
I had a guest on about a year ago, Kathleen Keating, who says that the Maitreya just appeared, I mean, poof type appeared, in her backyard and creeped the heck out of her.
Ooh. Wow. Well, I believe he may have the capability of that from what I'm reading about him. But it's just, like I said, it just seems so hush-hush as to, you know, I'm really curious as to what his lineage is and how old he is. And
well,
no one seems
he looks, based on the picture I've seen, he looks like he could be in his 40s. And he's, you know, he's from that entire region throughout the Middle East. Wildcard Line, welcome to Coast. You're on the air with us. Hi there.
Hello, world. Hello, George.
Hello, world to you. Where are you calling from?
Middle Florida. This is Greg.
Hi, Greg. Go ahead.
Got two things for you.
Sure.
Number one, I'd like to know why you flip-flop back between California and Missouri.
Okay, that's a simple question. 70% L.A., 30% St. Louis. My grown kids are here, and my grandchildren are here, so every once in a while, the network has given me the opportunity to come back here and keep those roots, because you got to keep those roots going. So I do it because of that.
Well, that's cool. You got a pretty cool boss man then.
Absolutely. The best.
All right. Number two, a lot of times when I go out ordering food, in fact, tonight before I came to work here, a lot of times my bill comes up to 666. It just happens all the time, no matter what I order or what different combinations of stuff I order.
And you take the food and you eat that food, I'd give it back. Or I'd order something else to change the bill number.
Well, I do. No matter what combination of different things I order, it comes up 666 a lot. And I don't know, you know, I don't feel evil or demonic or nothing, but a lot of people look at me funny when my bill comes up.
Yeah, that would take you by surprise a little bit, wouldn't it?
No, I don't know. I'm kind of used to it, but like some people won't even go out and eat with me no more.
Well, I'm not sure about that, but I would definitely, if you were getting a bill like that, I'd then order a dessert or something just to change that figure, if you could. Wildcard Line, you're on the air with us. Welcome to the program. Hi there.
Hi, George.
Yes, sir.
It's great to talk to you. I just want to say that I really love your show, and it means a whole lot to me to be able to talk to you.
Well, thank you.
And I just have a real quick story for you. Tonight, I was come home, and I realized I'd left my fish in there without any food all day, and it was a bad situation. So, and his water hadn't been changed in like a week. So I grabbed him and run in here to try to get the water clean in his bowl. And by the way, this is Casey. I'm listening on WGOW, the Talk Monster in Chattanooga,
sure,
Tennessee.
Sure, Tennessee, yeah.
And anyway, so I walked in here and was trying to get him some water, and I've got one of those instant propane hot water heaters, and it made the water too hot that I was making for him. So as I was putting him in there, I realized it, and I had to dump it out, and it just went all over the kitchen. The fish goes everywhere in the sink. And so I had to get this cup that I was drinking Coca-Cola out of and get him in the cup and throw some fish food in there for him. And he seems to be doing okay. I'm looking at him again right now. I've been checking him regularly. But do you think that's dangerous for a fish?
Well, yeah.
To get stuck in that situation?
Yeah, I do too. It's pretty traumatic. I mean, believe it or not, stress can kill a fish like that. What is he, a little goldfish?
No, he's one of those betas that goes up and breathes with their own lungs. They got
little
arms.
Okay.
Really cool.
All right,
but anyway, that was just really scary to me. His name's Baby Blue Eyes, and I just got a real quick question other than that. And does Bush want the best, or is he being bullied around by a bunch of bosses? Or is that right? anyway.
Well, that's a good question. I think deep down inside, he's a well-intentioned guy. I think there's some people trying to pull his purse strings and his strings, and he has surrounded himself with some people who appear to be very greedy and very one-sided. And you know what? I really think if he could pull his way away from those people, he'd have a much broader support, far more than the less than 40% that he has right now. I'll be back in a moment. Ancient Mysteries next on Coast to Coast AM.